You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You could download that anywhere you get your favorite apps, at your App Store, your Google Play Store, your Apple App Store. You can also get us anywhere you get your favorite podcast. Just search for The Rob O'Donnell Show and your smart speakers. I was just told today that the smart speakers is the number one way people listen to us here at the WILK News Radio. So you just ask those little smart speakers to play WILK News Radio. And you know who I'm talking about, because if I say their names, you get mad at me for setting them off. So yesterday, I promised to bring out Theodore Roosevelt, who was the police commissioner of New York at one point. He was also the Secretary of the Navy, leader of the Rough Riders, was also President of the United States, one of our greatest presidents. While he was police commissioner of New York, on April 17th, 1897, he submitted his resignation to the mayor. And I said yesterday, I have a copy of this letter in its writing. You know how the beautiful handwriting was back in the 1800s, as well as his first draft where there were crossouts and corrections. Now, it's a copy. It's a scanned copy. Obviously, I don't have the original. I do have a picture of Theodore Roosevelt, Teddy Roosevelt, in my office here while he was police commissioner. And you know, he was an iconic member in U.S. history. But this letter that was written in 1897, when you listen to it, and I'm going to read it to you in its full, it could have been written this week. And I want you to listen to this and pay attention, because it's just, it's so relevant to today. And it's amazing that 1897, this letter could have been written this week. To the mayor, my dear Mr. Mayor, I herewith tender you my resignation to take effect on April 19th in accordance with our understanding. I wish to take this opportunity, sir, to thank you for appointing me and express my very deep appreciation of your attitude toward me and toward the force, the direction of which you in part entrusted to my care. We have been very intimately associated with your work, and I know, as all men who have been associated with you do know, the devotion to which you have given all of your time and all of your effort to the betterment of our civic conditions, and the single-mindedness with which every crisis you have sought merely the good of the city. I have been able to work so zealously under you because you have never required me but anything but loyal service to what you conceive to be in the best interest of New York City. And I well know that if I followed any other course, it would have met with instant and sharp rebuke from you. I know that almost incredible difficulties with which you have been surrounded and the impossibility of your acting so as to please everyone. Nevertheless, I firmly believe that people are now realizing that you have given us far and away the best administration which this city has ever had. In this department, we, as well as you, have been hampered by unwise legislation and the so-called bipartisan law under which the department itself is administered, is of such absurdity, foolish character that it has been impossible to achieve the results which would have been achieved had you had your hands free with reference to your appointees, and had your appointees in turn possessed full and proper power over the force. Nevertheless, very much has been accomplished. For the first time, the police force has been administered without regard to politics, and it with an honest and resolute purpose to enforce the laws equitably and show favor to no man. The old system of blackmail and corruption has been almost entirely broken up. We have greatly improved the standard of discipline. We have preserved complete order, and we have warned against crime and vice more effectively than ever before. The fact that we have come short in any measure is due simply to the folly of the law, which deprives us of full measure of power over our subordinates, which could alone guarantee the best results. We have administered the civil service law in spirit and in letter, so as to show that there is not a slightest excuse for wishing to get rid of it, or for claiming that it does not produce the best possible results when honestly enforced. About 2/5 of the patrolmen have been appointed by us under the operation of civil service law, and they make the best body of recruits that have ever come into service. This is about 4 times the number of appointees that have ever before been made in the same period. And we have also made many more promotions. In promotions and appointment skills alike, we have disregarded wholly all considerations of political and religious creed. We have treated all men alike in their merits, rewarding the good and punishing the bad without reference to outside considerations. I have refused to take part in any effort to promote men or appoint them on other terms. I cannot resist expressing my appreciation of the high-mindedness, disinterestedness, courage, and fidelity to duty which Commissioner Andrews has brought to the performance of every official action. During my term of service, we have striven especially to make the police force not only the terror of the burglar, the rioter, and the tough, the lawbreaker, and criminal of every kind, but also the ready ally of every movement for good. One of my pleasantest experiences has been working with all men, rich and poor, priests and laymen, Catholics and Protestants, Jews and Gentiles, who are striving to make our civic conditions better, who are striving to raise the standard of living, of morality, and the comfort among our less fortunate brethren. We have endeavored to make all men and all societies engaged in such work feel that the police were their natural allies. We have endeavored to make the average private citizen feel that the officer of the law was to be dreaded only by the lawbreaker, and was ever ready to treat with courtesy and to befriend anyone who needs this aid. The man in the ranks, the man in the nightstick, has been quick to respond to our efforts, quick to recognize honesty of purpose in his superiors. You have in the police force a body of admirable men, brave, able, and zealous. Under proper leadership, they can at any time be depended on to do the best possible work. I have bitterly regretted that the law under which the force is administered is so bad that it has been impossible to make of the splendid body of men all that could be made if the board had the responsible head, with complete power and absolute singleness of purpose to do right. Again, thanking you for having appointed me and for your treatment of me during my term of service, I am with much gratitude and great respect, very faithfully yours, Theodore Roosevelt. That was Teddy Roosevelt's resignation letter. And he was brought in to fight corruption, to end favoritism, where politicians and members of the church basically had members that they approved of appointed to law enforcement positions to abuse the public, not serve the public. And he said, based on the legislative laws that restricted the department, he could no longer in good conscience serve as its police commissioner, because although much good has been done, he was restrained by political hamstrings. So it's just a mid-career snapshot of how great of a person Theodore Roosevelt was. His history, and I highly recommend that you dive into his history, his entire life's work, because it is truly outstanding, the things that he has done. From right after he left this position as police commissioner of New York City, he became the Secretary of the Navy. And then, as we know, later President of the United States, one of our greatest. His work with the Rough Riders, his work as the man in the arena. It's a poster that hangs on my grandson's wall. Matter of fact, my grandson's middle name is Ryder, after the Rough Riders of Teddy Roosevelt. for the man in the arena. It just goes to show the connection that's there. And, you know, early on when I found out that Teddy Roosevelt was a police commissioner in New York City, there's a lot of history of him in the police museum in New York. And I was able to obtain a scan of his very resignation letter that I just read to you. And I'm going to post this later on my Facebook page. Hopefully it overrides, you know, the national nonsense. That it's not nonsense. It's the national news trend that's out there. You know, I really hoped that this was the law enforcement news of the day, this message that Teddy Roosevelt sent, again, in 1897, April 17th of 1897, where he sent this Theodore Roosevelt was the president of the Board of Commissioners at the time, then the equivalent to the commissioner of the New York City Police Department. It was not the NYPD yet. It was the New York City Police Department, but the precursors to that. And to see it written in his own hand, to see it penned the way they so eloquently wrote back then, is just makes it more so that special. But I'm going to put this so you can read it and share it. And again, if you're a history buff, I highly recommend you look into the life and what has been accomplished by Teddy Roosevelt. He was truly a great American who wore many hats. Could you imagine going from the police commissioner of New York City to the Secretary of the Navy back in the late 1800s, just before the turn of the century? Just an incredible life. And to find that many of the things he talks about here, you know, politics trying to manipulate law enforcement, rather than law enforcement being apolitical based on the laws that those very politicians pass, and then want to micromanage or question why those laws are enforced or how they're enforced, special treatment for special groups. That's just not the way it is. So I hope you found that interesting. As always, we try and bring you a little of everything here. It's 4:21 here at WILK, time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. While we're looking at other places in the country for this breaking news, I did have this story flagged for today anyway, where this Chicago special education teacher vanishes without a trace as the husband pleads for her return. It's really a mind-boggling story. A Chicago special ed teacher has disappeared without a trace, sparking fear as her husband and family desperately plead for her self-return. Linda Brown, 53, was last seen Saturday afternoon about 2 miles southwest of White Sox Rate Field, driving a blue 2021 Honda Civic to her weekly acupuncture appointment before she vanished. Her husband said that they had a quiet night together at home watching movies before she went to bed early. Woke up at 8:45 and she was gone to her appointment after hours passed with no word from her. Her husband and family realized she never made it to her acupuncture appointment and could not be reached by phone. Something they said is entirely out of character for her. Reported her missing to the police. Chicago police said in a bulletin that the public school teacher may need medical attention. Brown, a special education teacher at the Robert Healy Elementary School, had her phone, purse, and credit card with her when she was headed to her appointment. Police said attempts to track her vehicle have turned up no leads and have provided no indication of her whereabouts. "I'm broke down. I don't know what to do. I've done everything," the husband said. "I'm talking to people. We've got people searching for her. I'm out of options." Brown's brother-in-law said the family is looking everywhere we possibly can for her. The elementary school where she worked said a letter to parents that the school was aware of the disappearance and urging anyone with information to contact investigators. Unfortunately, here's a situation, like many others, that you have to look at everybody. And it's a tragic time for a family whose loved one goes missing. but and all utter the cover all bases, you do have to strongly look at those closest to her first and then work your way out. And unfortunately, that's what this is going to have to go through. And if it turns up suspicion or evidence, then you start heading in that direction. But it doesn't mean you stop looking in other directions. That's why we have multiple investigators on these teams. A lot of times when this happens, you know, it's all hands on deck as far as local law enforcement investigative teams, because you do need to look at everything. There has to be forensic teams looking to track down digital footprints of this school teacher who went missing. Traffic and video surveillance or that could have possibly captured the camera, the license plate on a camera somewhere. You know, any use of the credit card, any use of cell phone pings on towers. There's a lot. Plus, you want to do that for the family members. I mean, unfortunately, and it's sad to say, you know, her husband needs to be ruled out. So they need to track his cell phone use. Where was he all these times? Okay, you say you were watching movies with her in the house. If your cell phone pings somewhere out of the area, well, now you have some explaining to do. It doesn't mean you're a suspect, but it means you've created some issues that we need to clear up. And if that continues to happen, if more and more issues pile up that need to be cleared up, well, then maybe you are a person of interest. But think of how if you are simply an innocent husband whose wife went missing, having to go through that. Unfortunately, it's part of the steps that need to be ruled out. But you know, hopefully there's a...
Mom, Dad, I'm not throwing shade, but the whole New Year's resolution thing, kind of slipping, no offense. Anyway, my best friend Jenny's dad, crushing it. He uses Blue Apron. He says he ordered one pan assemble and bake meals and these things called meal kits. They're all super easy to make. He keeps yelling, protein and fiber, baby. Also, the food, we tried it. So good. So maybe you check it out or whatever. Blue Apron. Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
A good end to this. Unfortunately, my experience is a lot of times there's not for this. So we will monitor this and see. But you know, anytime something like this happens, you know, foul play is suspected. I'm looking at the missing persons report here from the Bronzeville area of Chicago. 53-year-old, height 5'7", 140 pounds, brown hair, brown eyes. She was last seen January 3rd, leaving her neighborhood. She was headed to Wicker Park area for an appointment with a doctor. She never made it to her appointment, hasn't been seen since or heard from. And they have her license plate number and vehicle. So where is that vehicle? You know, that's another thing that needs to come up, especially with the technology today. You know, it's kind of hard to get any toll road or any main road and not get captured on camera, especially with the license plate recognitions that are pretty much everywhere. So we'll continue to monitor this story as we move on. It is 4:30 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's the point of the show where I honor our heroes here at home and law enforcement who made the ultimate sacrifice on this day. Today we have two from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. We're going to start off with Police Officer Anthony Leroy Johnson, Philadelphia Police Department in Pennsylvania. End of watch was January 7th, 2003. He suffered a fatal heart attack after struggling with a suspect at Overbrook High School at about 1700 hours or 5 o'clock. Officer Johnson, who volunteered as a part-time basketball coach, was in the gym for team photographs when a student came in and created a disturbance. The student refused to leave, and as Officer Johnson escorted him out of the gym, the boy took a swing at him and started to struggle. During the struggle, Officer Johnson was able to get handcuffs on the suspect before collapsing. Next, we have Patrolman Charles Anthony Lawrence, Bethlehem Police Department in Pennsylvania, 1924. Succumbed to injuries sustained the previous day while he fell from a ladder while assisting with rescue efforts during a structure fire on Broad Street. He slipped off the ladder and fell 25 feet to his death. And those are our two from here in the Commonwealth on this day. Looking at some text messages coming in, and somebody said, "Hey, Rob, saw the video and reports the mayor is going to ignite a lot of riots and trouble. He should just keep his mouth shut." Listen, this is what you're going to see with politicians. You already have Ilhan Omar and a few others coming out, you know, stoking the rhetoric to inflame what's going on. Listen, they want chaos. It's plain and simple. They want chaos. They want chaos. It's simple as that. And unfortunately, a lot of people are going to get hurt. There could be property damage, and it's not what's good. And I'm glad to see some kind of restraint from the governor. Not a lot. I mean, basically gave the blueprints for quote unquote peacefully protesting. We'll see if that lasts. Hopefully it does. I'm glad that he said the National Guard is at the ready and been put on standby. But we'll see, because then you have the mayor who comes out and, you know, with his rhetoric, trying to stoke the flames of an already volatile situation. Listen, like I said, anytime a life has to be taken or a life is taken, it's tragic. It's tragic for all involved, even if it's 100% justified, which I believe this is. I have another angle now, video that I've acquired that I'm in the process of looking at while I'm doing the show here. And this is from a greater distance, but it does show the officer being struck by the vehicle. There's questions. No, the officer really wasn't struck, or the officer could have jumped out of the way, didn't need to shoot. Well, in this instant, again, we're talking a millisecond. Truly a millisecond. The officer is struck by the front of the vehicle as he tries to move out of the way, and that's when he fires. And that's the bullet that went in through the front of the windshield, just above or to the left of, if you're facing a vehicle, where our inspection stickers would be. I'm looking live at Minneapolis right now. It appears there's, you know, a few hundred people, if that, maybe 200, that are at the area where this took place. It doesn't look like any law enforcement presence is there, which is a smart move. If it's going to remain peaceful protest and let people say what they want to say, that's fine. Does it stay there? Do agitators from outside of the area? There is some police presence there. I'm seeing some police cars now, some local Minneapolis police cars. Do the known suspects, the agitators, come in and look to inflame this? I think there's 100% chance of that. And hopefully that doesn't happen. But unfortunately, this area, this state, this city has a lot of experience with it being self-destructive. Hopefully, the National Guard is called in rather quickly. They are on standby, and it's prevented. That's all we can ask for here. That's all we can ask for indeed. Before we go to break, let me tell you about the Good Feet store located right here in Dixon City on the corner of Route 6 and Commerce Boulevard across from the Olive Garden. They make it easier than ever to feel your best. I've had my Good Feet Art Supports for over 2 years now, and they've truly made a difference in my life. I've had to have medical intervention on the issues that I deal with from, let's be honest, beating up my body over decades. And anything that brings that comfort as far as arch supports, something as simple as arch supports that have truly worked better than any medical intervention that I've had. And that's my personal experience. So you could say goodbye to foot pain and hello to personalized comfort with the Good Feet arch supports. There's no waiting. The arch supports are immediately available, and you can experience the difference today with a free test walk. They are located at 1945 Commerce Boulevard in Dixon City. That's where I went. Great team there. You can call them at 570-534-0980. Check them out online at goodfeet.com, because you're not going anywhere without Good Feet. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's time for Today in History, because how do we know where we're going unless we remember where we've been? So what do we have on this day, January 7th, throughout history? Well, it's a lot, actually. 1789, the first U.S. presidential election held. Electors cast votes to choose the nation's first president. George Washington would be unanimously elected in 1789. 1797, John Adams elected president. Adams defeated Thomas Jefferson, becoming the second president of the United States. 1904, distress signal CQD established, adopting an international wireless distress call, a precursor to SOS. It was 1904. 1927, first transatlantic commercial telephone call. A call was placed from New York City to London, making a milestone in global communications. 1927. 1942, Japanese forces land in the Philippines. The invasion escalated World War II combat in the Pacific following Pearl Harbor. 1953, President Truman announces development of the hydrogen bomb, signaling a major escalation in Cold War arms race. 1959, United States recognizes the new Cuban government. Fidel Castro had officially taken power just days earlier. 1972, Nixon announces its expansion of the Vietnam War air campaign, including heavy bombing of North Vietnam. 1999, the U.S. Senate begins impeachment trial for President Bill Clinton, only the second presidential impeachment trial in the U.S. history. 2021, Congress certifies the 2020 presidential election, occurred late after the U.S. Capitol incident the day prior. Some Pennsylvania history today. 1785, Pennsylvania ratifies land reforms efforts, continued to resolve disputes over western land claims and frontier governance. 1839, Pennsylvania legislator debates public education expansion, laying groundwork for the state's common school system. 1839. 1903, Pennsylvania coal unions expand organizing efforts, a major period in the state's labor movement history. 1903. 1963, Pennsylvania Supreme Court hears key civil rights era cases related to voting access and districting during the early 1960 reform. In 1991, Pennsylvania National Guard units prepare for Gulf War deployment. Troops would soon be activated for Operation Desert Storm. I will never forget, I was working in a residential treatment facility as a crisis preventionist when the first Gulf War broke out. And there was a gentleman who worked in the facility whose two of his children were helicopter pilots. One was an Apache gunship helicopter pilot in the Army. The other one was a Huey pilot. And I remember when the news came over showing that first front coming into to free, at that time, what was Kuwait, the Iraqi invasion of Kuwait, when we finally went in. And I remember him sitting down and looking up at the TV with his eyes welled up. And I'll never forget it, saying, "Go get him, sons." And, I think I was in my late teens. And it was just an incredible moment for me to see the pride, the worry, and the concern in this dad who raised, obviously, two outstanding children. And to this day, I'll never forget that. It was something that stays with me because it was so impactful seeing that firsthand as a teenager. I think I was 17 or 18, to be honest. And it was just so impactful on me. And you know, it's seeing that full turn now, having my own children who serve as active duty military. It's just an incredible honor to have your children go forth and want to serve their nation. So, got some text messages in about what's going on in Minnesota. I would text message said I would pull all ICE and federal agents out of there, evac everybody out, let the mayor and governor do what they want for now. After proper investigation, then witch hunt. I hope the agent's ID is not told and crucify him. Actually, that agent has already been doxxed on social media. You have people who just do that, and they have already doxxed this agent who they allege is responsible for this shooting on social media. And hopefully the social media platforms move forward with their own rules and regulations on doxxing. But listen, they don't care. They would love to put this agent's family in danger. That's just what they do. And it just goes to the disgusting nature of this. And again, no police officer, no agent goes out that door any morning and says, I hope I get to use my gun today. They just don't. I know that's the rhetoric that some would love you to believe. It just not, anything based in honesty or truth. A matter of fact, our nation's law enforcement are the most restrained when it comes to deadly force than ever. And they always have been. When you look into the account, the tens of millions of interactions law enforcement has with the community, when you look at the hundreds of thousands, over 800,000 law enforcement and federal agents across the nation, to annually every year have under 1,000 deadly use of force incidents, just goes to prove that. You have a better chance of being struck by lightning than you do being unarmed and shot by a police officer. Unarmed being the key word there. And again, I've posted some video on my Facebook showing the officer being struck and showing the bullet hole in the front of the window on the vehicle after it came to a stop. So I'm not here to make change your mind for you. I have my history. I have my expertise and look at something and I make a decision based on that. You can feel free to make your decision anything you want. I'm not trying to change your mind and you're not going to change my mind. It's just the way it is. I've seen videos now from three different angles and I am confident that this was justified self-defense. Some will never believe that. Some think the police officers should be hurt first before they can use deadly physical force, should have to be injured, should have to be run over. But you know what? If you're being run over, it's too late. If you're being hurt, you've already lost. And your job is to go home in the same condition you showed up to work that day. No one forced this person to intervene and obstruct federal agents. No one forced this person to not follow multiple commands, verbal directions. No one forced this person to attempt to pull away while an agent was attempting to reach in and open her door. And no one forced this woman to hit the accelerator and head towards a federal agent after temporarily, but enough to spin him around, drag another agent, and then open fire. And now there's another angle that, again, I just posted on my Facebook page that clearly shows that agent being struck by the front of the vehicle before opening fire and then open fire. And that gunshot was from the front of the vehicle because it came through the front windshield. Again, you could have your own opinion on it. You could make up your own assessment of what happened. You can agree with it or not agree with it. Hell, you can get on a plane and go to Minneapolis and protest for all I care. All I'm going to tell you is this is tragic all around. There's a family that lost a loved one, regardless of the situation. There's an officer who needs to deal with this for the rest of his life. There's an officer's family that's no doubt going to be put through who knows what, and we've seen it in the past. It's easy to say that they're job in law enforcement is probably done as far as being able to work anywhere. He'll be moved to a desk job, probably be reassigned to another part of the state. But I've seen this before. I've seen officers be fully acquitted, charged and fully acquitted, move to another state and it follow them to that state to where protesters go there and say, oh, why are you hiring this person? Look what happened. Well, they were found not guilty in a court of law, acquitted totally. Means it never happened. But yeah, that's not the way it works when you don't agree with the outcome. But when you agree with it, it's the way it should be, right? I get it. It's 4:55 here. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Let's go to the phone. We have Joe from Berwick on Tim Walz. Joe.
Hello, Rob. Yes, I definitely want to comment on the whole Minnesota thing, the press conference we listened to. But before we get to that, I just have to say, hold on a cotton pick a minute. You mean to tell me in the first invasion of Iraq, the first war, 1991, you were a teenager at that time?
I don't think when we freed Kuwait, I don't think that was 1991.
The first time when the first George Bush went in?
Yes.
Okay, you don't think that was 91?
I don't
because,
believe so.
And the reason that struck me, when that first Gulf War happened, I was in Atlanta Airport waiting to go to basic training, to start my basic training with the Army. So when I heard you say, oh, well, I was a teenager, I thought, wait a minute, I always thought you were my senior. That's why it caught my attention.
No, I'm not. I'm only 56, so I'm not your senior.
Okay. All right. Well, so anyway, about this whole Minneapolis thing. Listen, I'm going to make comments on this. I don't swear. I don't call names, but the listener is free in their mind to insert these words wherever they think it's necessary, because this is maddening at this point. To begin with, these comments about ICE needs to leave immediately. Well, maybe we wouldn't need ICE there if your state and your city hadn't just allowed the biggest welfare fraud scheme in the history of this country involving people who are here, you know, under some sort of questionable legal status. Okay, so the idea that these people have no place there when you just saw what unfolded is patently absurd. Secondly, that in that area of Minneapolis, again, I know you know this, but for the context of the listeners and those we can't get through to because they're brainwashed, after the George Floyd incident, that area got so bad in crime that ambulances would pull up like just on the border of that area where the George Floyd whole thing was, and they would pull up and just kind of load people and take off because it got so dangerous there, and we don't even know the extent of the crime because it was like lawless there.
Well, that's why when Walt said they were good at this protecting the, I found it comical. We got to leave it there, Joe. It's a 5 o'clock here.